We're holding Brachot Gvet Mishnah Gimel, the second chapter, third Mishnah. Our Mishnah discusses what happens if a person reads Shema in the less than opportune fashion, less than ideal fashion. The first thing our Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if he reads Shema and he doesn't hear what he says. And then our Mishnah is going to discuss what happens if he reads Shema and he doesn't read it very clearly. He slurs the words. Now, the Torah says we have to read Shema, and intrinsic in that is that we should read it properly. So the Mishnah says, "Akorei Shema v'lo shmei el ozno." If a person read Shema and he didn't make it audible to his own ears, he couldn't hear the Shema as he read it. So then the first opinion in the Mishnah says Yatza, that even though ideally one should not do that, but if one has done that, then he was Yotze. Rabbi Yossi omer lo Yatza. Rabbi Yossi says he's not Yotze, and we paskin halachically that a person should say Shema in a fashion that's audible. He should be able to hear it. But if he mouthed the words and was not able to hear them, then he was Yotze. If he just thought it in his mind, then that's nothing. But that's hirhur. When the Gemara says hirhul kedibu, that thought is like speech, that's only if you mouthed the words, if you moved your lips. So here he mouthed the words, he just couldn't hear it, so then he was Yotze. The same thing, by the way, is applicable to benching, Birkat HaMazon. One should make any blessing, and specifically benching, one has to be extra careful about, in a fashion that he could hear it with his own ears. And if one does not, then he is Yotze, but he did not perform the mitzvah in the ideal fashion. Karav lo dikdek bo tiyutev, he read Shema and he wasn't careful in the words. So he read, instead of v'chara af Hashem, he read v'charaf Hashem. So it sounds like v'charaf, like one word. I was in the shul especially, obviously that's how the Baal Kori lane. He read v'charaf Hashem. So charaf means to curse. V'charaf Hashem, Hashem cursed. It says v'chara af Hashem. And the anger of Hashem will kindle. It's two different words. We say when we reach Ma, b'chol levavecha. So it's two words, b'chol levavecha. If you slur it, it's b'chol levavecha. It's one word. And you'll see many people doing that. So if one read Kriyat Shema in that fashion, Rabbi Yossi umel yatza. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that he was Yotze. Not in the ideal sense, but at least he was Yotze. He had fulfilled his obligation. Rabbi Yehuda umel lo yatza. Rabbi Yehuda says he was not Yotze. And again, we paskin like the lenient opinion that ideally one should read Kriyat Shema in a proper fashion. But if one slurred the words in this way, he was still Yotze. And the Beis Yosef, this is the only place I know of that the Beis Yosef quotes the Radak, Rav David Kimchi. And the Radak, he quotes the Radak as saying that one should be careful in all of one's reading of Tanakh to read it with this dikdu. HaKorei LeMafrei, if one read Shema out of order, he read first the third Pasuk, then the second Pasuk, then the first Pasuk, then he skipped back. So if he read the Shema out of order, lo yatza. Then everyone agrees he was not Yotze. Now over here there's an interesting machlokas. What happens if you read the parshiot out of order? We know the parshiot weren't written in a specific order. In the Torah they weren't written in the order that we read them every morning. We had the previous Mishnah that said why our sages instituted that they should be read in this specific order, but really we could think to ourselves that Shema would consist of three mitzvot, and there are three separate mitzvot we could think. First mitzvah is reading the first parsha, second mitzvah reading the second parsha, and third mitzvah reading the third parsha. And who's to say that we must read it in this order? So the previous Mishnah said that our sages instituted it in this specific order. But if we would consider them three separate mitzvot, which is how the Torah seems to set them up, then what's wrong if I read them out of order? So here there's a big machlokas. It comes down to machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and Gra, whether if you read the parshiot out of order, let's say you start with the parsha of Vayomer, and then you go to Vayom Shema, and then you go to Shema. Are you Yotze or not? So our mission isn't talking about that, it would seem. They want to say that our mission is talking about where you read the different sentences out of order, not the paragraphs out of order. And that's why everyone agrees you are not Yotze. Yes?
This is also the Machloket Rashi Rabbeinu Tam in the film?
No, that's a different Machloket. Karav v'ta'a, if one read the Shema and he made a mistake, so he's not sure where he's holding, you say, Yachzor l'makom shta, go back to the place he made a mistake. What happens if you're not sure where you're holding? In the middle of reading Shema and suddenly... And then you wake up, where am I?
Which command am I
on? If you're at... So it depends. If you could figure out where you are, you go back to the last place you're sure you sit. And from there you go on.
How many? It's not a problem if you're like end up repeating Hashem's name.
Well, it's psukim. So we say it's not the ideal sense, it's not proper, but what can you do?
You can say it's just going to be one.
Yeah, but don't forget, here you made blessings that are pertaining to the Shema. Ideally, you shouldn't say it this way, and you should say it in order. Okay. Now, over here, this connects with the previous thing that we read in the Mishnah. We said you cannot read the sentences out of order. So therefore, if you're not sure where you're holding, you have to go back to the last spot where you know you set up to there, and say from there on, because you can't say it out of order, you can't say the Shema out of order. Mishnah Dalet, Haumanim, the workers, Korin Barosh Eilan of Rosh HaNitbach. The workers could read on top of the tree, they're in the middle of working on the tree. So if they're on a tree that has a lot of branches and they're stable there, so they could read Shema there. We know that Shema, you only have to have full kavana on the first pasuk of Shema, Shema and Baruch Shem Kod Machzol Dom Ve'et. The first parsha, if you're carrying something on your shoulder, you have to stand still and not continue walking when you read the first parsha. And the rest, ideally, you should be sitting down and focused, but worse comes to worse, you could even read it as you're walking. Ha'umanim korin b'rosh ha'ilan, the workers may read Shema on top of the tree, or b'rosh ha'nitbach, or on top of the scaffold. Mashinan mashin lasot ken batfila. With regard to prayer, they may not do this, because prayer, we say you have to have kavona, you're standing before the Creator, you can't do that on top of the tree. But Shema, our sages permitted them to do it, because they used to start work very early. And therefore, our sages said they're going to be at the treetop by the time it hits Shema, so they could say Shema then.
But I understood you can also ride, if you ride a camel, whatever, you can say Shema as well.
Yes, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. That's a very good point. What one does when he's on a camel. We will get to that. That's an interesting halacha. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're riding on an animal, so that you make the animal take 3 steps back and 3 steps forward. That's what it says.
Does that work if you're in a car?
In a car, that doesn't seem to work.
Be able to apply halacha.
I don't think you could say that, because those aren't footsteps. Animal steps are steps. Car, I don't think you could say that. But I don't know, I didn't see anyone that discusses it. Chatan, a guy gets engaged, he comes the day of the wedding. They make the chuppah before sunset. Everyone's dancing. They stop for Ma'ariv. Now this guy is busy. What's he busy with? He's thinking about the first night he's going to be with his wife. So we say that osek mitzvah patur min mitzvah. If you're busy performing one mitzvah, you don't have to stop doing that mitzvah to perform another mitzvah. And this is even if it's only a small trouble to stop performing this mitzvah in order to perform the other mitzvah. You don't have to do it. Let's say you're en route to help Pollard get out of jail. So that's called Pidyon Shvuim. You're on your way. Now you could stop and go sit in a sukkah. It's sukkah's time. You could stop your car and then go off at the exit ramp and find the house. It'll take you a few minutes and you could eat in a sukkah. So we say, no, you're busy performing a mitzvah. You're on your way to do Pidyon Shvuim to help a Jew that's in jail get out of jail. So you're not obligated to do that. Even though it would only be a small effort, you say you don't have to do it. And even if it weren't such a major mitzvah like Pidyon Shvuim, which we know is one of the most major mitzvahs there are in the Torah, it's one of the only mitzvahs you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah for. Even if it weren't such a heavy mitzvah, even if it were a lighter mitzvah, still we say you don't have to stop performance of even a light mitzvah in order to perform a different mitzvah. Yeah?
So does that mean if I'm on the way to do this deed, and I'm hungry, I don't need to say Birkat HaMazon afterwards?
No. For some reason, we don't say that. Maybe because Birkat HaMazon, you could say on the way. It's only stopping in that specific place and saying Birkat HaMazon.
But just like the groom here can't have proper intention. Maybe I can't.
So wait. Let's get to the groom.
You're saying you're selling a Sefer Torah. You're saying normally you can't under any circumstances like sell. What if your community, like this new community, needs a Sefer Torah and you guys got a whole bunch?
That's different. We'll get to that. Yom Hashem, after Brachot, I hope we will learn Megillah, and in Megillah we'll learn these things.
So what is, in brief, what is the, you know, what's the
Nafkamina? In general, we say, what?
What's the Nafkamina? You said you can't sell
it. Ordinarily, you cannot sell Sefer Torah for money to buy anything. There are very few exceptions. A shul needs to buy, they need to do renovations. Say, you can't sell Sefer Torah for that. You need to buy new sparm, so you can't sell Sefer Torah for that. There are very few exceptions.
Can you, to buy back a cemetery, you can sell a Sefer Torah?
Yeah, that I didn't know.
And to,
To buy back a cemetery, yeah.
Yeah, and to help someone, even someone who's already been married,
So that it says, that says in the Gemara. But what you're saying, I don't remember. I don't remember, not from the Gemara Shulchan. You say so?
I believe it's in Moed Katan. But I,
no, I don't remember it. Not from Moed Katan, not from Megillah. The Gemara discusses in Megillah. Could be, I don't remember correctly. But the Moed Katan I just reviewed, I don't remember it there. And Megillah also, I don't remember it from there. But if you're saying it says that, okay.
If you're going to taught me that, a specialist in the cemetery line, tell me that.
Okay, could be. I don't remember that. So we say that if you're busy performing one mitzvah, you don't have to stop to perform a different mitzvah. That's called osek b'mitzvah. One who's busy with one mitzvah, patum nonsense, putter from performance of a different mitzvah. And this even includes, let's say you're watching an object for someone. You find the lost object. Find someone Sefer Torah. Walking down the street, find Sefer Torah. So the halacha says that a Sefer Torah, you have to roll it every so often, otherwise it'll wear out. It'll rot. So it has to be opened and rolled once in 30 days, once a year. The Gemara discusses different opinions how often it has to be done. So let's say you're going to the shelf to check on the Sefer Torah. It's not a big deal. You're walking to the shelf. And a poor man says, give me tzedakah. You don't have to give him tzedakah. That's called pruta de Rav Yosef in the Gemara. Rav Yosef says that you gain when you watch an object from someone because theoretically, if a poor person asks you for tzedakah, when you're going to take care of that object for him, you're performing a mitzvah. So you don't have to stop to perform this other mitzvah of giving tzedakah. We say if you're busy with one mitzvah, you're pater from another mitzvah. Now, our Mishnah teaches us that even if your thoughts are busy with a mitzvah, Chasson has a mitzvah to marry his wife, and his thoughts are busy, so we say he's not going to be able to focus on reading Kriya Shema tonight, so why should he say God's name in vain? We say he's pater from reading Kriya Shema Balayla Rishon on the first night. Now, ordinarily, they'd get married on Wednesday nights, so until they get together, it could take a night or two nights. Sometimes things don't succeed so bad. So, therefore, our Mishnah says they are patu ad motzei Shabbat im lo asa maaseh. If they haven't succeeded in having relations, we say the first three nights, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, until motzei Shabbat, until the fourth night, we say we consider him to be so busy with his thoughts about what he's going to do that he's patur from Kriyat Shema. But after that, we say he's chayav. Now, nowadays, we say that our kavana isn't worth anything. We never have kavana. And therefore, we say every chassan should read Kriya Shema. No one should say, I don't have proper thought, because none of us ever have proper thought. So we say, whatever thought you have every other night, it's no less than the night of the chassan, because that's halacha. So,
when did it change?
When did it change? 800 years ago, 1,500. I don't remember exactly, but many, many, many years ago.
In the Mishnah it's written, though, isn't it, also?
No.
I thought Rav Gamliel says not everyone wants to be pious is pious.
Oh, that we'll get to. Maaseh Rabban Gamliel, shekara balayla rishon shenasa. Rabban Gamliel, the first night he got married, and now we're going to have a list of stories, which we'll read God willing tomorrow, that Rabban Gamliel seems to have gone against the traditional law. So Rabban Gamliel got married the first night, he read Shema. Amru lo tamidav, so students asked him, loli matanu rabbeinu, and here we see how students are supposed to ask the question. They say, didn't you teach us, Rabbi, shechatan patum kachma blayla rishon, that a chasson is part of reading Kriya Shema the first night he gets married? He said, I'm not willing to listen to you. I'm not willing to listen to you to abscond myself from the acceptance of God's yoke even for 1 hour. Why did he mean him for 1 hour? Because theoretically, he could have gone with his wife, and then after they'd been together, once they had marital relations, then everyone agrees it's high for Kriya Shema. So he said, I'm not even willing to wait till after I perform the mitzvah. And the rest of the stories, we'll see God willing tomorrow. So what do we see today? We saw that Kriyat Shema, ideally one should hear what he says. If he did not hear what he says, we saw two opinions. And we said the halacha is that b'di'evet he was yotze. It's not the ideal fashion, but if one reads Kriyat Shema and did not hear the words but mouthed them, he was yotze. We said that if one reads Kriyat Shema with slurring the words, he doesn't read it, the proper distinction between words. Again, we had two opinions, and again we said the halacha is yotze. We said if one reads Kriyat Shema out of order, he is not yotze. And if one makes a mistake in Kriyat Shema, he goes back to where he is sure he is up to. Then we read Mishnah Dalet, that the workers could read on top of the tree or on top of the scaffold Kriyat Shema, but when it comes to prayer, to Shmon Esrei, that they may not do in such a fashion. A chassan, as we read, is pater from Kriyat Shema the first night until Motzei Shabbos, if he has not yet performed what he's supposed to on that night. And we saw a story of Rabban Gamliel, who did read Kriyat Shema the first night he got married.